I guess in lots of ways, life is, with all our easy machines and all our technology nowadays, is quite a bit different. Can you tell us a little bit about what your life was like with old kitchen kinds of things and household kinds of things?
Well, when we were small, of course, there wasn't any hot water, so Mom used to have to heat it on top of the stove. And besides that, to do her ironing, she used to have what they call the sad irons. So you'd have to have the fire going, of course, to have the top of the stove nice and hot. So she put these irons on there and then get them hot. And then she had a handle that she could undo it from and hitch it up to the other one again.
You said it was a wooden handle?
Yeah, it was a wooden handle. Right, yes. And so she would do that, disconnect one and put it back on the stove to get hot. So well, she'd take the other one. And then when she got it off the stove, she'd rub it on something first just to make sure that it was nice and clean before she would do the ironing. And I think maybe before I mentioned about the washing machine, or did I?
The mom, a little bit, yeah.
Where she first had a wooden washing machine?
No, that, I don't think you did until, yeah.
Well, then, at first, well, I guess she must have been doing it by hand, and then I remember a friend, Andy Millie, thought she should get a washing machine, so a man came with a washing machine. I remember it was out in the backyard, and it was a wooden one, so they filled it with water to do the washing in, but I think you had to sort of do it back and forth with your hand, because it wasn't electricity.
So there was a handle on it, a lever, so, was it, that you had to move back and forth all the time?
I think so. Uh-huh. I remember it being wooden, I don't remember too much about the machine. But anyways, there was a ringer on it, so you had to wring out the clothes. And then eventually, she got a Bendix washing machine that she and Dad were down at the exhibition, and they saw this one, and it looked beautiful. So. Well, it was quite an improvement, of course. So they had it down in the basement, because by this time, I think there was some laundry tubs there, and they had it there, and there was electricity, so they had it pitched up, but then when it was going, it would vibrate, and because the floor wasn't level, it sloped down, I guess for drainage, it would start moving, so we called it the walking, walked across the floor. So, of course, they had to stop it, and then they got a cement slab built, nice and flat, so that it'd be nice and secure on there. And so then carried on with the washing, so that was just fine. And then things going on too. We didn't have a toaster at first, so used to do it on top of the stove.
You just and put toast on top of it.
Yeah, you put the bread on it and got bread toast and turn it over.
Huh. Right. So yeah. So and sure what was it? A stove with wood in it?
Yes. They were wood. First it was wood. And we used to, the woodman would come and bring wood, and we'd have to all help bring the wood in. He'd dump it out in the boulevard. We'd have to collect it up and bring it in and pile it up, like take it in the basement and pile it up. And that was quite a job because it got slivers and things, but we did that.
And so there was just a stove in the kitchen. And was there a furnace at that time?
Not for years, there wasn't, but then finally there was one, so the mom got one, and it was one of these types that the heat came up into the big hallway.
I remember there was an old grate right in the middle of the hallway, and that was the only heat that came out.
That's right. And it opened the doors to get around.
I remember as a young child sitting around that grate in the evening, and Grandma would be there probably doing some work like cutting apples, but she'd be telling us stories, maybe June and I and Glenn and Lauren, and I remember it being so nice because Grandma was always had so much to offer and telling stories and things from the Bible and a bit about her beliefs in flying saucers and things, and I was always kind of fascinated. She was quite a sharp lady. Did you as kids sit around it too, or?
Oh yes, I remember sitting around it. And I remember I got chilblains in my feet for putting it over the heat. And, you know, they would get itchy and sore because, I guess, just having them over the heat so much.
But how old were you maybe when that furnace came, do you know?
I can't really remember.
Was that a sawdust furnace? Because I remember a sawdust man bringing in a furnace right. when I was a kid.
Yes, well, I think that was before we had the furnace, because the sawdust was for the kitchen stove.
Oh.
And my dad had another garage built up the back, so the other one that the boys slept in, well, that's where he put his car. So in this shed up the back, that's where the sawdust used to be. And then we'd to go with a big bucket and bring the sawdust in and put it into
the
hopper.
That was for
the
kitchen stove?
Right, just really? The kitchen stove.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
And how did you think keep things cool?
Oh, the house, the back of the house where the kitchen was in the north, so it's only a cooler part of the house. So they had on it what they call the cooler. It's a cupboard where they put the cold things in. They put the things in there to sort of keep cool. And it had a couple of holes on it that my dad covered with wire, and that let the air in and out to circulate, and that sort of helped keep it cool. So that was the only cooler we had for a long time. It was years after, I think, when I got married about the first time, they got about the first fridge.
Did they have an ice box at all?
No, they didn't. But when I first got married, I had an ice box.
Really?
Do you remember the ice box?
No.
Oh, well, yes, they had an ice box. And the man used to come around his truck with ice, and he would get the chunk of ice the size you wanted, and he had a couple of clamps that he'd clamp on and bring it in and put it in your box for you.
I remember seeing that, but I don't remember. Did we have an ice box in the house on Kitchener Street, or did we just have that cold room downstairs there?
Yes, it was the cold room downstairs. Uh-huh. That
so
was
you had the ice box when you lived in the little house on Pender, is that right?
That's right. Uh-huh. And I know we're kids, the ice man, we used to think it was wonderful because he would chip off ice off sometimes to get it the right size. So we kids would get a chunk of ice and put it in our mouth. Thought that was a real treat, and we'd get ice. And then when we first got married, was living up on Kitchener Street, well, we used to have a lot of things by delivery. The baker man would come up the street, and you could go out and get your bread from him, or the fisherman, he'd come out with fish. You knew what day of week they were coming, about what time, so you'd be on the lookout for them, and you would them know. And then the cleaner, if you wanted the cleaner, had one of his cards, you put it in the window, he'd drive him around, and if he saw your car in the window, and he'd stop and pick up whatever cleaning he had. So a lot of things were that way, and we didn't have a telephone for years either, so we're very lucky. Our neighbor up on Duthie Street, they had
that was a Crutchley's, wasn't it?
That's right, and so they used to allow us to use their phone, or people to leave a message, which were very good, and it was a message which didn't happen very often, but they would send the children over, should there be a message. So, and then for mail too, it was a mailbox. You used to have to go down, it was on Spurling Avenue at first, the old post office down there, and used to go down there and you'd buy your stamps and pick up your mail and things like that before you got the delivery to the door. And then two, there wasn't any buses or anything at first when we moved up there, but then finally McClure's, they started up the bus service on Spurling, so we were quite a little ways up Kitchener, so we would walk to the bus.
I remember that old bus. It was scary because there was a hole in the floor, and one of them, you could see the ground underneath, and also you'd pinch your fingers if you put them in the wrong part of the seat. I remember that, where we would take the bus out with you, and Dad would be working on the house. He would have come probably from Shelburne where he was working, and you'd bring us out there. I also remember about the mail that you had some old bachelor that was kind to you because you were nice to him, and he used to often pick up the mail.
That's right. So it was wonderful. I saved you the trip.
All the neighbors always remembered you so nicely, though, because you were always kind to them. And there was a bunch of old bachelors and people who always were thoughtful and helpful to you. I remember going and getting fruit at their yard.
Right. I remember going at Ames and getting apples.
Mm-hmm. Is that the one that was the garbage man? No. Remember there was somebody down on Kitchener in a little house behind the White House?
Yeah, that sounds like him, yes. And yeah. It's apples and the trees, you could go down and get some. Well, everybody seemed to be friendly. Like maybe everybody knew their neighbor. Everybody was friendly to each other. Knew the children and everybody. So it was really nice, friendly feeling. Whereas now we live in an apartment. You don't sort of even know your neighbor. But everybody was friendly up there. Do you remember when we built that house on Kitchener? Well, you had to first get rid of the trees. And that was quite a job.
How did you do that?
Well, we had some horses started to do a bit of clearing. And so we had to cut down some of the trees and things like that. And then the horses to plow around.
And the horses dug out the basement for the house, did they not, too?
Yeah, that's right. They
did.
Yeah,
I think it was those
big
people who
it.
Were on Hastings Street. What was their name?
Lloyd Denimus.
Boys that you knew.
Yeah,
I can't think of the name anymore. But anyways, I remember one time there was this great big tree with, so it was sawed off at the top, and then of course all this root, and to get rid of it, so your dad got some dynamite to blow it up. So I had the job going out in the road, and any traffic that was coming, stop the traffic and say, wait a minute, because the dynamite's going to blow up the log, and then as soon as you hear it, then you can go by. So, because there wasn't many people on the road, but then everybody's very kind, and they would stop, and then you know, there's boom, and boy,
I think
you see
I can remember
dirt flying, rocks
yeah,
flying.
Yeah, and having to stay in the house, too, and I had to stay in the house
right,
when that was happening, so didn't get hurt. That was quite something out there. You had a big garden and animals yourself to look after, didn't you?
Yes, we did. And we lived in the basement for a good number of years before Dad finally got upstairs finished. And well, downstairs, first I think we had tubs to bath you girls in, because we had a shower. Like you were both scared of the shower, you know, like the water coming out of your heads.
So I remember there were laundry tubs, but I don't know if we washed in those. It was just a big metal tub that you washed us in.
But we lived in McCowan's basement. We got washed in their laundry tubs because we didn't always like to go upstairs and bother them. But then there was times we could go up, and I think you and June and I all bathed together because
didn't want to use too much water.
Yeah, or take too much time at it, because it was the bathroom, because when there's only one bathroom in the house, well, people want in, and you know, so you can't spend too much time in the tub. But we used to do that sometimes because you're both small, so. Kind of had fun with her bath together, so that worked out all right. And
I remember my childhood as fun.
Well, like Jenny here's got lovely curls, so she didn't have to worry about curls. But when we were kids, well, we wanted to have curls in our hair, so we used to tie them up in rags, Jenny, to make the curls. And Mom would have strips of rags and wrap the hair around it and then tie it, and so then undo it and make ringlets. But if you didn't want ringlets, if you wanted it to be curly, you'd comb it all out. So that's the way we used to do for have our curls.
Did you ever have those heated irons on your hair, or was that other family
did that? Yes, later on, yes. I remember my sister Bessie, that she bought some, and she bought some to make Marcel waves. She used to make Marcel waves in her hair.
What was it like, the heated irons? What were they like? Did you put them on the stove?
On the stove, yeah. Mm-hmm. Get it hot. And it was... would explain it. Well, it made it look like a Marcel wave with the, you know, how you can go in and out like that. The way you
and you just hold that on your hair for a while.
Well, yeah, I kind of didn't like those things because I was scared of getting burnt.
Yeah.
So I think I sooner had the rags, you know, done up on the ringlets.
And
like
what's
that.
The story about Grandma's hair when she lost it all?
Oh, right. Yes, because I guess when it started to go away, then she had it colored. So she used to have it colored henna. Sometimes, one time, whatever she did, whatever combination she used, it went green, and then it sort of fell out. So for a while she said she had to wear a hat, especially when she went to church, I would have to wear a hat. So then after that, she stopped getting her hair colored. But I remember one time I had the job of coloring her hair, more than once, a few times maybe, the color. don't think it went green then, but we did, so was that. And then, well, like my dad, you know, he used to shave, not with electric razor the way they do now, with a straight razor, and they were always sort of vicious looking things, so he was lathering his face all up with soap and used a straight razor. But then he had a strap that he would strap it with, you know, to sharpen it, you know, up and down on it, and to hold it or sharpen it. So I always had that hung in the pantry. And then that was a thing, too, that you had to be good or you'd get the strap sort of deal, threatening sort of thing. Well, you know, but everybody, the boys would get it sometimes. If they weren't good, they'd get the strap. It didn't happen very often, but it was always there.
Well, I remember when we were kids, Grandpa McCallum had one in his bathroom, and I've never been scared of this leather strap that hung in the bathroom.
Well, it's one time, maybe we've all had reason to be, because when I was in school, and that was when we were in this, the basement school, you know, that's not a Masonic hall, but sitting there, and I guess the boy in the front, or me, I was in the front, the boy behind, Edward Crabtree, he kept talking, a lot of kids in the class kept talking, so the teacher got quite mad, said everybody had to stop talking. I guess we didn't stop talking, so she made an example of us. She took us out to the back room and the strap, and I pulled up with your hand, and boy, that strap
you
hurt.
You got the strap?
I got the strap.
Oh,
so
imagine.
Yeah, I know, that's
strap.
Thing, so I wonder what kind of straps.
Yeah.
But anyways, I didn't talk anymore after that. Not when I was supposed to, that is. So anyways,
Boy, life is different now.
Yes,
you can't strap somebody or even touch them physically at school.
Well, we were kids too. My mom would go out with, they let us make candy, and we used to think that was wonderful. But in the war years, of course, it was different because you didn't have much sugar, but quite often that we wouldn't mind staying home because we make candy or popcorn, and we used to do it, and then a pan on the stove, and then it would start jumping all over the place. Well, it's later years when we got a basket, and McCallum's had one on a hat and a handle in the basket. You put it in the fireplace and hold it over the heat, and then it would all pop.
To make popcorn.
Popcorn.
Yeah.
You only know, that's a little bit hard in the hand because it's kind of hot on the fireplace, but we used to do that, and then you know. Years ago, you know, nowadays you have your electric mowers or your gas mowers, but for mowing the lawn, we had to hand type, I guess you all remember, you had to push them. And going back a long time again, years ago, went down in the little house, my mother had a piano, a baby grand piano, and then they moved it up to Pender Street, and it was a beautiful thing, because I remember with moving it, they took the legs off of it. And I had the job of taking this one leg up, and it was heavy. It was all carved, it was a massive thing. But it had a wheel on the bottom of it that it would push along for a while, but then you had to sort of be careful because the sidewalk was planks, and you could maybe get it caught in one of these cracks or something, rather, because the three planks together was a crack in between, and you had to be careful about the wheel so you didn't get caught in it. And the same with pushing a baby buggy. You had to be careful the wheels of the baby buggy wouldn't get in it.
Were all the sidewalks at that time wooden?
Mm-hmm.
And what were the
yes.
roads like?
Gravel. And they used to come, you know, with a thing and level them out every now and again. It was just all gravel and rocks and stuff like that. It was a long time before they got hardtack on it.
When? What happened to that grand piano, baby grand piano?
Sad thing about that this friend of ours, the Elbridges, Rita Elbridge, she was after my mom all the time to sell it or to trade it in to get an upright piano, which my mother did. And then when she got this upright piano, she had to pay money on it because I had to pay for a thing. I remember nearly every week I'd have to go down on the streetcar and give a payment on this piano.
And that was the piano that June and I learned to play on,
that's
and Lauren
right,
learned to play
right.
on, that right
that's
one?
That's the one that Kenny has over
for
Sydney
kids,
now
yeah.
for his children. But, golly, that baby grand piano would be worth a fortune.
Compared with,
right,
yeah.
And to have to pay money for that other one. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful thing. I know when we were kids, used to play house underneath it, because it was, I told you, So it's so big to get underneath it, sit underneath it. I thought that was great.
How would they ever have gotten a baby grand piano? Do you have any idea?
I don't know. But I guess it was getting old because some of it was ivory keys and yellow and some of them kind of nicked at the edges. Mm-hmm. But still,
be
you could lift the top up and
thing.
Down and fix a little grand piano, yes. But I guess it took up quite a bit of room in the house, so maybe that's one of the prevailing reasons that they got
and
rid of
and
it.
You took piano
again.
Lessons too when you were young.
Oh yes, I certainly did. Yeah.
Did
and
you?
I did and Jean did and Dick did and I think I don't know if any of the rest of the family did, but we did.
Did you take piano lessons for quite a while?
Yes, we did for quite a while and I remember one time taking an exam, I think Dick and I did.
Did you? A Royal Conservatory exam?
Right, And somewhere or other, I passed and he didn't.
Ooh.
That happened, but anyways, he didn't take any lessons after that. I think
boy,
he
did.
But
that would really have shamed him to pieces, eh?
But I wasn't that great. I didn't take any more exams, but I took that one anyways. Mm-hmm. So took lessons for quite a while. I used to go down Parker Street to a lady down there. And then also took some lessons from Mr. Monk.
Yeah.
And then Lauren took lessons. He was quite good at taking, playing. But somehow or other, after a while, I guess people lose interest in the piano.
Right.
But he was quite good because he was going to Edward Parker and he doesn't take everybody. He'd just take the ones that are really quite good.
And that Edward Parker, he's got that son that's such a great... What's his name, John Parker or something?
Is he a pianist?
Yes, and that's his son. He's got a Japanese middle name, and he's world known, and that's his son. He's really, so they were a very special family, and they're all from North Burnaby.
Isn't that wonderful? Like father, like son. Amazing. Oh, very
John
nice.
Is Yoda or Kyoto or something, Parker. That's his son.